A party?
Party.
Let's get this party started.
Let's do it.
With DJ One Don.
Oh, what's happening, CC? They still call it the White House, but that's a temporary condition, too. Can you dig it, CC? To each his reach, and if I don't cop, it ain't mine to have. But I'll be reaching for you, because I love you, CC. Right on. There's a lot of chocolate cities around. We've got Newark, we've got Gary. Somebody told me we got L.A. And we're working on Atlanta. You're the capital.
Daddy loves
you. Get down.
Daddy loves
you. Moving in over.
Daddy loves you.
Can't you feel my breath?
It's Funky Friday right here on the Wise Words with One Gotcha.
Having game, it can't be changed. But on the positive side, you're my piece of the rock, and I love you, CC. Can you dig it? Hey, we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule, but we did get you, CC. Yeah. Gaining on you. Moving in around you. God bless CC and his vanilla suburbs. Batman Black, Brother Black, Blood Even. Yeah, just funny, man. Getting down.
Sacramento, we got a storm coming our way. Make sure you are prepared for this storm. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to the phone line to some friends of mine. I'm going to start off with Mark the Disciple. Mark, what's happening? Good morning, brother.
Grand rising, kings and queens. What a glorious day it is to be alive.
I say, going to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, good morning to you, brother, and good morning to our faithful contributors and our listening audience. I have a question I'd like to pose, but I won't do it right now. I'll let everybody check in, and then I'll convey it.
I say, Double R in the car.
Double R in the car, top of the top, Black family. I got a special guest with me. He's with the probation department for 40 years, Brother Cleo.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey,
good morning. All right. And we have a caller from the 502 again today. I hope they say good morning so we can feel the love and spread the vibe. Good morning, 916-502, you own. Say good morning to the folks. Hello.
Hello.
All right, is that the 502?
No.
Okay. That's Brother Cleo.
Okay, Brother Cleo. We're going to keep moving.
Yeah, it's 951.
Okay, all right. So watch this. We have a question that is posed to the listening audience and the panel from Brother Marvell, but we're gonna go to Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe, you on live right now. Go ahead on to say something to the people.
I want to thank everybody because yesterday I was in the valley and everybody could understand. I was just in the valley. And it took me, a while to climb out that valley, and I appreciate all the brothers and whatnot on the line, if there were any prayers or whatnot. So I just wanted to just thank everybody, first of all, and obviously I'm glad to be among the brotherhood. Thank you.
Ashe, and we're praying for you. We praying for you. We lifting you up, asking the Most High to continue to bless you. We know you have a medical condition, and, man, we just asking that the Most High heals you from inside out. Hey, it is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, has a question. Marvell?
Okay, here's the question. We have folks who contribute regularly who have perfect attendance. And then we have folks who likely are attending but don't speak with any regularity. We have folks who listen. My question is, why do you participate in this forum? Why?
Well, if I may, I'll give a quick, brief answer. I participate in this forum because it gives us a chance to get our thoughts, our desires, out to the people who are like-minded, so that we can help some of these situations that we're in and help us to see our way out of them together.
Ashe.
I have participated because of the spirit and the strength that it gives me a chance to move forward. And again, by this being a new entity in Sacramento, many of the folks who listen, who may be apprehensive about talking on the air, but they do listen. And so it gives me an opportunity to explore. Thank you.
Double R.
Yeah, this is an antidote for me, man. Like I tell y'all, I wake up, man, it's like Christmas morning to get with brothers like-minded like me. But it's not just about the solutions that we have on here, but it's the resolutions, you know what I mean? So I'm all for it, with it, you know what I mean? And I see the progress, and I salute you brothers there down north, up north, and hopefully up here on the southern side of California, we can do the same thing y'all doing. I yield.
I say. And this is One Gone. I do this. This is my 11th year on Blog Talk Radio. I did it because we had a lot of shootings in our neighborhoods, and we had a rival gang war here in Sacramento, California. Mm. And I started this to give our young folks a outlet so that they can play their music and not talk about each hood and not talk about, how they going to knock their brother down and how they going to keep sipping syrup and how they going to keep dealing dope and how they going to keep just the negative that was in our streets. Mm. And at one time, man, we had nothing but youngsters on here, man, and it was powerful until, they always have one that'll set it off. And so on this show, you can't set it off. I'm not going to let you set it off. We'll cut it off before we let you set it off on your brother, right? And so with that forum, we decided just to put all of our cares on this line and have people that are like-minded. I heard someone say that already, that are like-minded to come up with solutions and resolutions for things that are plaguing our neighborhood. And then what we found out is that in Houston, Texas, we got Houston, Texas in the house. We got Atlanta, Georgia in the house. We got a lot of listeners that are listening in different areas of the United States that come on and they pour in the same thing that we're going through. And so we just trying to put the message out, and this is the spot where you can do that and feel free that your brother got your back. And so that's why I do this. This is One Gone. I pass the mic. Brother Marvell, why do you come on here?
Good question. I was sitting there, you know, taking in what you guys are saying, and what occurred to me very simply to start is I've been an individual that has been kind of different in every, kind of like in almost all the circles I've been in. After a while, my difference starts working against me somehow. You know, I don't know. I attempt to address and redress whatever I think it is that might make me seem so distinct. But I've just resigned that, you know, I'm not going to not be myself in order to attempt to blend in with the situation or with the body of people that I'm dealing with. What I'm going to do is find a way to share what's in my heart to people and be able to have some means of validating myself through hearing myself share my experiences and my education, my analysis, and my conclusions of things with people who hopefully could glean something from it. And at the same time, I'm open to learn all the time. But here's my, I did a long answer, but here's my simple answer. I'm looking to start loving people better. I'm looking to develop that sense that every time I'm in a circle with somebody, I can relax and be myself, tell my truth, and be well received. That's the beginning of love for me. And that's what I'm getting here. I'm feeling like I'm developing love for the people that I interact with here regularly, and for the people who call in and express how much they appreciate what we're doing. It's creating a feeling of true love that I've been seeking throughout my life. So I want to thank y'all for just being feeling comfortable enough to be yourself on here so that it makes it easier for us to move toward the kinship and strengthen relationships and express love to each other. And
I have Sister Clarice in here. Sister Clarice, the question posed to the listening body is, why do you come on here? Good morning, Sister Clarice.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. I just got back in. I had a 7:05 appointment this morning downtown. I came on here. Actually, Marvell's the reason I got connected. And I saw something in him, that something he was doing that spoke to me. And I go, I wonder, is this really real? Is he really real? You know, and I did different little things to kind of check it out. And so far, the one thing I like about Marvell, he never promises you anything that he doesn't try to deliver. He may not do everything you want or the way you want it, but the one thing you cannot say, at least I cannot say, that he's ever said something that he has not held true to his word. I'm a very loyal person. So that's what got me started. And so in checking out him and seeing what he's doing is real, I met a lot of interesting individuals. And it put me in a position where I had to open up. And I didn't mind opening up. It's like I'm very transparent. And because of my son and some of the things that he's doing, automatically it's going to draw attention to me. So I thought, I might as well get myself together. And Marvell's a tough person. He's hard. You know, some things that he would, I don't like to use this word as a woman, but I've heard other people use it. He pissed me off. You know, I didn't like hearing some of the things he's saying, and it's like, it's so cold and it's so harsh. But it was really truthful. He's just very open and honest, and I've come to appreciate that so much, the open and honesty that he's been with me. And then that helped me to open up and learn to limit the trust, you know, because I said before, God said for us to trust him and love people. So to be able to learn to love people again, in a vulnerable position. Same thing with you, Tim. I got so much more out of this than what I expected to have gotten. I admire your style. I admire your thoughtfulness, your consideration of all people. That's a tough position to be in. That's what keeps me coming back, because there was healing in there. Yeah, I have a religious background, the whole bit, but I've gotten seen more healing allowed to take place than I've seen in a long time, even in a religious setting, because a lot of people talk about things and they're not really ready to help these people that they're reaching out for. I'm aware of that, and this is, oh my God, I was guilty of that. So that's why I keep coming back, because there's something that I can learn here. People that are being honest, learning how to trust people again. We want to be forgiven and be allowed another chance. So now I get to allow other people to have another chance. And I'm going to step down.
I say, we received that. We received that. And so
thank you.
I have
thank you.
Rev that came in. Rev, the question posed this morning after you introduced yourself is, why do you come on here?
Good morning. I'm Rev. Most times I ain't got nothing to do. No, I come because there are inspiring things that are being said, and I like really being with people that are trying to come together for something that's positive. Because there's so much negativity going around, and I can find that on every corner that I can think of. But to be able to have a place that's kind of a marketing area for something that's positive to advance in life, that's why I really come on here. And to be able to voice the opinion of life that we get to go through. But that's about it.
Ashe. So you're riding on the Wise Good Words with One Gone Show. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And the question posed to you listeners, why do you listen? Why do you come here and listen to this show? Without further ado, here's your host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Yes. Okay, so, you know, the question posed to the listener is really one of my curiosities. The people who have shared that are here regularly, I can feel their spirit, and that's a good thing. The people who are listening, I'm hoping that we can feel yours by you stepping out and just saying a little something about what it is that creates a gravity for your tendency to listen to what's going on here. Now, we have this 502 that never really responds. They have the opportunity, and they never really respond. Now, I'm going to be candid with you, 502. It seems kind of suspicious. Because we have people who not only might be listening to what we do, but they'll call in with pranks and little digs and little things to try to undermine or cast aspersion to what we're doing here. And we deal with it. We don't like it. We hope we're not inviting it. And we deal with it. It was kind of a wondering about why someone would go out of their way to create havoc with people who are not trying to do any harm. So the people that are listening and listen with any regularity to know the heart and the spirit of the people who are regular on here, I'm going to appeal to you to just say a little something about why it is that you tune in to this particular broadcast.
Excuse me, Marvell. 502 hung up and then called back and raised a hand, so I'm going to the 502. 502, you're on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. The question poses, why do you come on here?
This is Marlena. I come on because I am of the world. I listen to people and their thoughts, and I get energy from it. A lot of times I talk too much, and I stay quiet when I'm on this show because I'm learning and listening and grasping from others. I've gained so much, and now I know what I want to do moving forward, and I've expressed my sincere wording to Disciple Mark, and he will be able to share that with you, Timothy, and also Marvell. I want to do something. I'm coming into a little piece of change, as my daddy used to say, and I want to share that with the men's group here and the people that are listening. So that's why I said I don't talk much, but I do listen and learn. Thank you so much, and I receive. Thank you.
Ashe, Ashe.
Right,
you made my heart feel good, Mama. Mama, you know
man.
You made my heart feel good. All right.
Always. So, thank you. Thank you, babies.
Yes, yes. And so we have another caller called in, and I think that's Brother Sherman. Brother Sherman, the question is, after you introduce yourself, why do you come on this show, Brother Sherman? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Sherman. Why do I come on? All right, so the first call I ever made here, I was having problems with my financial life, and I was reaching out to anyone that would help me with that. I'm not going to say you guys helped me, but you caused me to stay focused and stay on the line. Years ago, I worked at a food closet, and one day I was teasing one of the people that came there to get food, and he said to me, "I'm in my lane." And so since I've heard that, I try to the thought that this is my lane. I mean, I know where this car is going. I can't control other drivers. And if they're driving by the United States Driver's Handbook, we shouldn't have a wreck. But we should do better. And this ain't England where they drive on the other side of the road, or this isn't Hawaii where they can't park in the 20 yards from a corner. This is America. And I want to thank this group for, I can't say you really, but you did say that you would help me, and I think you prayed for me, and prayer is the answer for everything, because I believe that the Bible is not just a book. It's a map of life. And if you don't take any part of it in, you can't receive any part of it. But all mankind is under that. I yield back.
Right on.
One of the things, Brother Marvell and fellas, that we give to the listening audience is a difference, an alternative. If you check the airwaves up here in Sacramento, as I do, we are the only ones that are speaking in these terms and talking about these subjects, which gives the audience an opportunity to listen to something new. And in that newness, there is a strength in that newness. Now, yes, we're still young, so listening audience and participation is still minimal at this time. But people are gravitating toward because they want an alternative, and that's what we provide.
Ashe.
Hey, so Brother Marvell, I know we have a special guest. You know, Brother Uncle Joe retired from probation after 31 years, right? And so when he comes on and he comes into our youth presence, he always have a strong message for him, right? But then I heard we have someone else that is in the midst that has also been in that situation, maybe 40 years, right? And so I believe our special guest will be introduced by none other than Double R in the car. And so, Double R, introduce your guest, and let's get with this information.
Yes, sir. This guy here, Brother Cleo, been patronizing my business for, 20-something years. And this brother here, let me just give you one incident. 420 is a day where the KKK, the militia groups, they do their initiation type of thing. They bust my window on 420. The officer, I used to cut him when he was a young kid. He said, Mr. Reggie, you know what today is? I said, no. He said, today is the day of initiation day, 420. Only two businesses got hit. It was my business and another tattoo business that was black, and it was hit. They bust the windows just for initiation, you know, do something to the black people, right? And Brother Cleo came, and he saw my windows boarded up and everything, and he said, what happened? I said, well, I was told that it was a cake. He said, hey, next year on 419, I'm coming with you. We're going to sleep over before, so we're going to catch these cats, right? So this is the man right here, and godly man, that, like I said, been patronizing me over 20 years. And the brother from Oakland, he's from Cali, and I like him just to tell you a little about himself and about the probation department as far as the youth and for the adults, Brother Cleo. Brother Cleo, unmute your mic.
There we go. Okay. All right. I think I'm straight now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, good morning to everyone, and I take it as an honor to come upon the show. I'm just a common individual, you know, no special degrees or so and so and so, but just have some life experience. And as Brother Reggie said, I spent 40 years with the Los Angeles County Probation Department working with youth, teenagers primarily, ages 16 through 18, and then in the adult world as well. So I'm, retired, 75 years old, still climbing, charging the hill. And I'm just here to offer as much as I can and maybe some insight into how to identify some of the problems, perhaps solutions to the youth of our people, if you could ever get them to listen, to sit down, be quiet, and be still. And listen, I hear someone laughing on that one. So
that's me. But, that's me. That's Reggie. Yeah.
Okay.
It's basic.
Yeah, it's very basic. And again, I'm not trying to. I won't be, all scholarly and erudite and et cetera, and bore anybody with any statistic, all this kind of stuff, and try to prove anything. I'm not trying to prove anything. Only going by experience in life. The probation department of LA County was at the time, and probably still is, the largest probation department in the world. However, in my 40 years, it went about some significant changes, significant enough to where, in my opinion, it did a lot of harm to our youth, a lot of harm. It did some good initially when I started back in the early 70s, and it completely deteriorated to where it is today, to where it's a total collapse and a total failure. Many of our youth, as we all know, in terms of the black African American youth and the criminal justice system highly unfair, unjust. However, I have a caveat, which a lot of people may or may not agree. That's okay. I don't have a problem with disagreement. There's an element to it, and Brother Reggie and I have talked about this a lot over the years. There's a bit of self-responsibility. Self-responsibility. And I have always thought, keep yourself out of situations. Stay out of situations. And then there's a good probability you'll never wind up in the criminal justice system. We all do know the system is unfair. There's a lot of black Americans that are falsely accused of crimes, and they've done a lot of time. In the adult world, people have done 30, 40, 50 years unjustly accused, simply in many cases being in the wrong place at the wrong time and having to take plea deals, plea out. And basically, it's been a trick. And so, but it all starts in many cases from the youth. And what I found working in juvenile facilities, numerous facilities, where it started out with a lot of programs that were really good for these kids to take advantage of, and I'm speaking on, you know, at the time in the early 70s, all throughout the 70s, 80s, you had carpentry, you had tailoring, you had fire suppression, you had auto mechanics, and it appeared to me every decade, every subsequent decade up until the time I left, all of that is being unfunded, stripped away, and all you have now left is nothing but playtime for these kids. And there's nothing offered. And so I don't know exactly where it has to shoulder, who has to shoulder for the benefit of these kids, but all I know is us, and I'm using that term, us, we're going to have to do it because nobody else is going to do it. But however, if I can't get you as a kid, as a child, as a young man to have a change of mind, to go in a different direction, I can't help you. I cannot help you. Again, positioning yourself so you can have a wholesome, fruitful, productive, satisfying life, it takes work. You're not going to get it because you're just born. It's not going to come to you easy. It's going to have to take some sacrifice. And that's going to be the difference maker right there. And, yes, hard work. These kids have got to stop focusing on what they see or what they consider to be successful in the rap world, in the entertainment world, in the sports world. There's nothing wrong with those activities if they're wholesome. But however, they don't understand the machinery behind it. They don't understand the mechanism behind it, socially, politically, economically. And dangling carrots like that before young kids, and they always looking at something the quick way. And so the quick way is what has resulted in many of our youth being incarcerated and through various other, devices. as the kids used to call it, being caught up. No, you're not caught up. You made some choices. You made some choices. And it's a lot of it is fool's gold out here. It's fool's gold. It's all designed to get you involved in the matrix, get you involved in the criminal justice matrix. It's a money thing. So I don't know if anyone has any questions specifically to ask, but that's how I see it. And the only one that's going to extricate ourselves from it is us. And we can keep preaching about it. We can keep looking in the sky for it. Nobody's going to ride in on a white horse and to extricate you from it. It's not going to happen. You're going to have a mindset change. Your mind has got to be re-educated and where you can be motivated to move in another positive direction with guidance from wise men. Wise men is what you better be looking towards. And that's part of the answer. I said that's part of the answer. And during my time, I did some things that I thought was the prime point. Prime point. I'm very centered economically, financially. It's just the way I look at the world. I'm not ashamed about it. It's just I know it's a greater part of our existence in this capitalistic society. You better learn how it works. You better learn how it works. Because you're gonna have problems all along your journey in this life if you don't become a money master, if you don't become a student of it. And I mean a student in the right way. Yeah, you can slang and bang all you want and think that's success, but it's a death trap. But you better understand the economics of what's going on. I hope somebody's got something out of what I said. I don't know if I explained anything.
Oh, you got it. You hit it on the head, brother. I mean, hey, man, you used to get 2 minutes, but I said preach, brother. You preaching to the choir, man. Anybody got any questions for my brother?
And so this is one gone. I appreciate our brother coming on and being a part of this show. Like you said, he's preaching to the choir, and it's good to have like-minded people in the same room. We all in our own room, but we in the room on the show, right? And I just sat here and said, thank you, God, for the opportunity to hear other folks speak the talk that I like to listen to, right? That speak to my heart. Out of concern, out of knowing certain situations and the situations we find ourselves in, our people in. And, brother, I appreciate you coming on here. Brother Double R, I appreciate you bringing him on here. It is a privilege to have you voice what you voiced so far, and know that this show is a home for you as well to come and help re-educate, reset some of the minds that are out there that have been duped, bamboozled, right? And so
that
all
is
this
right.
is a readjustment, reset session on how we as a people need to come from under the rock and be the brilliant minds and people that we are. And so I want to thank you. I'm quite sure there's someone else might want to say something, but I appreciate you, and God bless.
Amen. Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. It got quiet on here. Everybody full
oh,
of
my,
the juice,
my
so they
mistake.
On mute.
No, I was on mute, man. My mistake.
I figured
because I didn't want. Yeah, yeah. But see, my I'm hey, Double R. You every day you say Double guy in the car, but I'm in the car for real. I broadcast from my car so I can make sure that I can minimize any distortions, you know, and have a comfortability to put on mute and go to my notes and all that stuff. So I was asking Coy if he sounded like you're signing off, like, you going to hang with us, Coy, or not?
You say Coy. Who's Coy? You talking about Brother Cleo?
Oh, my mistake. I'm doing this. I thought yesterday was the first. So, yeah, I'm kind of muddled right now in some of my thought process. Yeah, Cleo. Brother Cleo, you going to hang with us? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure. I'm with you.
All right, because I'm curious to know. It sounds like you retired for about 10 years. Is that true?
Yeah, that is correct, sir.
Okay, so
yes,
one of my questions is, when did you begin to see our youth transition to not listening and being, you know, focused on the things that you mentioned that they're not just focused on but immersed in? When did you start seeing that transition occur while you were in the field?
I saw that occur. I saw that mental shift of being so rebellious right in beginning of the 80s, not the 1980s. And that whole decade seemed to bring about it was a tussling match. You know, in the 70s, where there were better programs, I'm talking in-house programs in the probation department, in those facilities,
mm-hmm.
you could get the attention of a kid. You had a kid that was, his mindset was beginning to develop into areas of his mind, or where he began to look at himself of his natural abilities to do things, to learn something different than where, let's just say, where they came from that was so negative that, oh, I didn't know that there was tailoring out here and carpentry out here, auto mechanics, and learn those skills, and they became good at it. And many of them, upon release, were placed in jobs. They were employed. And that's a big factor. You know, it may not have been top dollar at the time, but it's an outlet. Kids got to have something to do that's going to occupy their minds and their time, else they're going to gravitate to another alternative that's going to meet some of their needs that they may not have fulfilled at home. And we got to do a better job in our homes. I mean, it's evident to me. But to directly answer your question, I saw the shift in the 80s. Now, that 80s shift, I guess if my time is right, my timetable is right, was the crack epidemic, the crack epidemic, if I'm right, you know, on my timeline.
You're right.
So anybody that knows about mind-altering psychedelic drugs. I mean, listen, you know, I grew up in the 60s. So, you know, I've seen plenty of mind-altering drugs. When I say seen them, not me personally, I'm saying the effects of it. Well, that's what happened when crack cocaine hit. And that's where you had a kid, at least the ones that I was in charge of. And I'm talking at the time 100 kids in a dorm, 100 plus kids in a dormitory being supervised by two or three probation officers. And I'm telling you, that's a hell of a task to coordinate everything that we had to do with the type of individuals that are doing everything possible to sabotage what we needed to do at the time. So, in other words, you're going to have some chaos here. Now, so we got some mind issues, mindset issues. So if it is the drugs, and so that's bringing about confusion, delusions, societal problems along with the personal problems, and you're keeping yourself wound up in that matrix, in that criminal justice system, because you really haven't decided that you wanted a mind, you wanted a change. So now you're right. So now you're right back again. It's called you hear that term, recidivism.
Let me insert something from because you're looking at it from the perspective of you know, post conviction or in house, right?
Uh huh.
When I'm glad at the end you did. Qualify the transition with that theory, because that theory to me is more than a theory. That theory is a fact, because
sure.
I was in that era, and I was using drugs in that era, and I was dealing with them young folks in that era, and they lost respect for the potential grooming of elders in that era, meaning
absolutely.
They were selling drugs to their mentor. They were selling drugs to their supposed leaders, and they were getting their supposed leaders to compromise their humanity, their integrity, and their principle for the drug, and they lost interest in wanting to be like us in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That one mm-hmm. thing that I will hear them young folks say is, "Don't mess with." They were smoking formaldehyde and smoking wet and all that stuff, going crazy. But they
mm-hmm.
would denounce any of their peers for smoking crack. Man,
mm-hmm.
whatever you do, don't smoke no crack. I'll put you
mm-hmm.
on. You just can't smoke it. You want to get on? I'll put you on. You know, but I just don't smoke it. And their disdain for the drug that they were selling and the effect it was having on us was so intense that was the beginning, to me, of how we
mm-hmm.
lost our ability to have influence over them.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
mm-hmm.
let me put this too, that now I come up in the 60s as well. I was born in 53.
Okay.
So I also observed that it seems to be a diabolical scheme to insert certain drugs into our neighborhoods. Back then, we had communities. When I was coming up, the heroin epidemic got infused into communities, and it tore them down. So that precedent made drugs sort of like a one-size-fit-all to undermine any progress that we might be making as a group. So I'm glad you identified that the 80s was the beginning of the turnaround for
mm-hmm.
the relationships between the guardians, the elders, even the parents and the
mm-hmm.
youth, because they lost a lot of reverence watching us.
Mm-hmm.
perform
mm-hmm.
for a rock.
Mhm. Mhm.
Now, hello.
You know,
can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Go, Joe.
Sure.
Okay, I just want to say to you that I too know of the timeline that you speak of because I was Department 12 in San Francisco at one gone sis for 30 years. So
sure.
One of the things, and I have to be quick with this because we need to go. One of the reasons why I open up what little conversations I have right now with the youth is on economics. We found in San Francisco that, that you're correct 100% about the sway of the mentality. But there was a group of 100 black men in San Francisco, a well-known group, and we that gravitated to us up at Juvenile Hall in San Francisco. So three offices, I'm one of them, we put together some in-house programs because you're right. All the outside programs, the money got defunded. And so obviously
there
that went right down the drain. It was CBOs.
That's right.
And they were doing a good job. We did have print shops. We did have printing and various other things, but they took that away at the height of the crack. Oh, God, you and I need to talk with each other because, man, you had 100. Well, we didn't have that number, but anyway, let me finish. We began to talk about economics and how the money that was gravitated from drug sales, what positive use that could be put to. My administration did not want that.
Absolutely.
They fought against that program. They fought against that program because it was starting to show some progress. Because the gangs that were in the hall at that time with San Francisco began to understand that they were making money and what they could do, positively do with that money. And we had a bigger fight with the administration than we did anything else. So that's why right now each time I speak with the young people here in the Sacramento area, I talk about money. I talk about the value, or at least I have begun to. So I back you up 100% on that.
Man, that's I really appreciate that. I appreciate your input on that because you're just right on target. My attempt from an economic standpoint also was at a very limited time to speak on the economics when I've had a little program going and maybe about an hour or so once a week if the environment was secure. If it was in chaos, then I couldn't hold my class. And so eventually it was all cut out, just cut out. Well, I'm talking about things, I'm talking about finances for, you know, how this financial system works, how to make that money grow, how you can become legitimately well off, wealthy in the long run, in the process of time, without having to behind you, jerking and jumping at night, scared somebody to gun you down. You see? And so, yeah, but every time you come up with a program or suggestions, the administration, then they twist the program and alleviate it. And so mine, not personally, all of us probation officers in the institution, you had to focus yourself in now on nothing but much but security to keeping chaos down. But if you had the programs, kids could be divided up in different groups and go over here, and it kept the gang tension down. In other words, alleviated. And when I started out, as I said, in the 70s, it was not that. We had complete control, and I don't mean abusive control, but just understanding to build in pride, sense of accomplishment, teamwork. It's a beautiful thing to see kids transform themselves into a functioning, working group of kids that accomplish a goal. I mean, just one example, you know, learning the skills of fire suppression. Man, that's a hell of a skill. It's a hell of a skill. And to see kids work in coordinated fashion. And I'm talking, when I say coordinated, I mean a raging fire. I've been in them. Malibu fire. And them kids just performed. They were nothing but professionals. That's an amazing thing to see. But those programs got cut out, you see?
So let me piggyback on that. I think this struck a fire because I don't know if it was Tim or Marvell was at the youth area, and he was progressing, and they cut him out. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
To me, it's like this. It's the powers that be. We supposed
yep.
to be rehabilitating these people.
That's
from
correct.
Adults. They don't want that because it's a money system. The powers that be want these jails filled
that's,
up.
That's
they
correct.
Want this money. And the county jail, when I went to the county jail, I did 8 months and 20 days. And I was in that area in the 80s, just like you said, got caught up into the cocaine and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, if I could work for Mr. Charlie and get up here and be a trustee and make juke balls in the officer dining room, I can get my black ass out here and work and for myself. So, therefore,
correct.
I learned to wake up and get up. They taught me that. I can tell you that. To work
mm-hmm.
positive and do positive things for my community.
That's correct.
But, however, the system is allowing us not to progress and rehabilitate our people, our youth.
Mm-hmm. Now,
okay, so, gentlemen, hold on. Listen to this here. And to put it in the capsule. So, everything that we're sharing from the inside out, meaning people who were in the throes from in the environment where the diabolical scheme had been unleashed to our neighborhoods and communities from the outside, and those who dealt with it from the inside, we both agree that it was deliberate. We are agreeing on that. That is was obviously deliberately done to create an effect. Now, I wonder, because this is your first time on here, Cleo, what
yep.
I want to share with you is that what if I told you that we're working right now to build a consortium of businesses and a consciousness with nonprofits and entrepreneurs to make provision for those type of activities and those type of vocations. We're really focusing on just what you're talking about. The fact that
mm-hmm.
our youth have so much free time, because listen to this, two things about the technology. The technology has become their new drug, and it creates immediacy of anything they want to do, so they have more time. However,
mm-hmm.
the time that they're spending that they've earned or they've gotten accrued from the quickness of technology is being spent on recreation and entertainment. And
mm-hmm.
that's our challenge is to supplant that so
mm-hmm.
that they won't continue
mm-hmm.
to not recognize the power of their own ability to do the magic
Amen.
Of making something out of nothing or taking
sure.
something that started somewhere and taking it to the maximum of its ability to perform, right? So
mm-hmm.
I just want to
mm-hmm.
let you know that you're
mm-hmm.
talking with a group who is focusing on standing in the gap and representing that.
Sure.
But there's one more
yeah.
thing about technology that I want us to really kind of consider, that this technology, like back in the day in the 80s, these youth felt like they were superior over the elders because they could get the elders to do whatever they want to do for the dope, right? And they had an air of superiority. Now, if we're not careful, the air of superiority that they appear to feel over us about technology exists now. is that they don't think highly of us if we're not technically sound, right? And I don't want to get technically sound. This is catch 22 for me. I don't want to get it because it takes up, I get absorbed. I know about dopamine, and I know about how it creates this affinity to that excitement and to that thing that makes it so I get stuck myself. However,
that's right.
It's kind of important, I think, for us to factor into it that right now they feel that they are lightweight superior over us because we are not technologically sound. So that's a catch-22 that I hope we can discuss and come to terms with.
Well, it's unfortunately, the way I see it, a lot of technology, let me just break it this way. Personally, I'm just saying personally, I don't give a damn about ticking and talking, Snapchatting, Facebooking, Instagramming. I don't care. You're wasting my time. I do not waste my time beefing. Nonsense. I'm not worried about what Jay-Z is doing. I'm not worried about none of that because it's not fruitful. There's no fruit in it. It's not economically beneficial to you personally, not unless, you know, you just on there to be clicking and be getting clicks and likes and talking about foolishness. That doesn't make me technologically sound. Personally, I'm technologically savvy and have been for decades, but it's utilizing it to where it's fruitful, not only for yourself, for your family, for the community. It has to be. What is use of it is in keeping up with, and you broke as hell. What good is it? You see, there's no benefit in it. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, we all like it. We all like to be entertained. But why are you taking $1,500 knowing you're supposed to be at least paying your rent? Why are you just taking $1,500 and spending it on Beyonce? That's stupid. That's financial suicide. You see what I mean? And so I'm saying, because the fruits of that, the fruits of planting that $1,500, whatever the price was, is going to show up when yourself get old of what you didn't do. You see, that's where I'm coming from. What is it that you planted today that's going to be productive for you and be fruitful to in your latter days?
Okay, Cleo, let me intercede right quick to say this. Part of what happens here in this format is when we hear information, we get in tune with how we can work together and everybody in their comfort zone and in their field of expertise or their skill level, how we could put together something that fills the gap for what we clearly see and know exists. So what I'm hearing from you is hopefully not just the knowledge but the willingness to put together a package that talks specifically about what you just mentioned, right? Those deficits, those areas where our young people are caught up, and you don't want to use caught up, but I'll say they're caught up in the addiction of electronics, and they're not benefiting from it. They're using it as a stimuli for the entertainment. But if you could take what you know, your working knowledge, and start kind of swinging them toward the thought process of doing research and creating, and doing research and enhancing what would make them more for themselves. That's what I'm hoping that at the end of this, we can corroborate on to try to prepare that. Because as I said, as we're going moving in this process with this broadcast and the people that come on it, they have resources. And we're attempting to pool those resources and put together a package that will help protect our youth from becoming cybernauts and robots, because that's kind of like what it looks like is happening. Is they're depending on that technology so much that they're like omitting their own qualities of creativity and own
sure.
ability to demonstrate what they have to offer, right? So hopefully,
absolutely.
You know, we can look at that option on yep. your part, because
yep.
I want to take advantage of every year and every experience that you had observing where our youth came from, where they are now, and we can contour something to make it a smooth pathway for where they can go from here. So I'm
mm-hmm.
just going to drop that
mm-hmm.
in.
So
yeah,
and
man,
we
want to
work
together.
It is wonderful to hear this conversation. We're going to take a commercial break right now. You're listening to The Wise Words of One Gun Show. We'll be right
Hooked
back.
On Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we can work it out in. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence is taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
That's right, that's right. That's the Men's Healing Circle, the Youth Healing Circle, the fishing. We got a big celebration coming. It'll be our 18th annual fishing and camping excursion out at Westgate Landing. It is May 24th, 25th, and 26th. It's the weekend of Memorial, and man, we're going to have a blast. If you want more information, call 916-889-0105. That's 916-889-0105. Without further ado, I'm going to give it back to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. So I mean, before we left, we're attempting to get agreement on how we can work together based upon the expertise, because Joe is all in. And I like you guys are going to communicate. I'm gathering because I heard the proposition made that you guys get together and compare notes. And then I'm hoping that we can get together and draw up something, because I will, you know, give me the concept of the details, and I will sit down and write something. I don't know. I'm not saying, Cleo, that you might not be capable. If you are, I welcome it. But I want to be able to plant the seed that whenever we get together with concepts and we want to implement, that we get it on paper and get it visible and get it referable, right, as soon as possible, so that we can map out a strategy to implement. Because we'll set the laws in motion by doing that process. I've seen it, and it's a good experience to have, to not only have the concept, but to take the concept and make it plain and clear for people to see and refer to, and it's a document that draws attention. So I'm hoping that we can proceed with that idea, Cleo, because you're a valuable resource, brother. You and Joe, what y'all have to share is probably going to be create a turning point for how we get our youth to be involved with something other than their entertainment and recreation all the time. We have to attract them. See, that's one of the things that I've observed, because Tim and I work with youth in school systems. Tim and I work with youth outside the school system. And what we mm-hmm. have observed and what we practice is being clever. You know, just being older and wiser or knowledgeable is not enough with these youth nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be clever. You have to be creative. You have to be, you go see, once let's recognize that a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, they automatically think they're smarter than us. And if they can mm-hmm. manipulate you, then they proved it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so having that mindset, I've observed, we don't have any influence, or we have very little influence once they get locked in on us being naive to the game, right? So we have to demonstrate that we know the game. You can't hide the pee on me, right? The shell game ain't going to work here because I know where the pee is, right? So don't do it. And we have to kind of mm-hmm. demonstrate that and be able to let them know that our wisdom pays off in the midterm and the long run, not in immediacy all the time, but in the midterm and long run. And we have to, and I think it's important for us to get them to start expanding their vision beyond the short term. That's our job. So I want to get with you guys together something, and let's roll. And put it out there and get it visible, get it tangible, and get it operative, so that we can continue to carve and whittle away at this obsession that they have with that technology and the influence of strong personalities in their little circle. Because that's what we're working with, young people, that they got strong personalities in the circle that are outspoken. Everybody else real quiet and timid, don't talk, because they don't talk much now. They text, they don't talk. So now
correct.
They got a strong personality that can influence them, that's a peer, and the next thing you know, they in jackpot situations. Like we had a youth the other day in a jackpot situation on the strength of him being to gravity towards someone who was outspoken and had a strong personality, right? So
mm-hmm.
we want to work to eliminate all of those challenges so that they can start looking a little closer at how to use this technology to advance themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I hear you. This is my first opportunity to be connected, you know, somewhat here. I'm here in Southern California down here with Brother Reggie. And so a lot of things, you know, have to be coordinated. Coordinated through him. I think, not think, I know that we got to offer, it's, I guess I'm kind of lost for words. I don't, you know, I'm not a person that's going to waste time with a person that will not listen. I'm not going to struggle to convince another person. That is a recipe for hypertension, heart palpitations, heart disease, kidney failure. And we need to identify kids, youth, that are ready to learn, ready to move in a positive direction. You're going to have people fall by the wayside. They are, because they don't see it. They may not see it. They don't see it. They can't see it. And progress in life, about anything, is a process. It's a process. It's a process. And it's whether or not, you know, you can plant a seed, and or you can have a harvest of a weed. It can bear fruit, or it'll bear weeds, or it just falls on deaf ears. And because you're not going to save everybody, you can't. And so I've always thought that what's happening or what is not happening in the black community, African American specifically, is what I call ownership of what we do, ownership where governments don't control it. Outside folks don't control it and tell us what to do. And what we're focusing on is that we own it. It's ours. Nobody can tell you what to do with it. And so we, for instance, in the business world, we need to, you know, have monies, finances, money. And have that money. It's not just money just to be having money, but it's money that has to be focused money, focus, laser, focus. I don't care what business it's in. It has to be focused to accomplish anything. And that's been a problem, in my opinion, all along. You know, integration is not necessarily, it was fine. But that ain't enough, because if you don't control your schools, you don't control your industries, you don't control the technology, see, you don't control it. You need to learn how to create it, control it, put the kind of content out there that you want out there, not what TikTok sitting back somewhere in some weird warehouse somewhere, where when you say something, they want to cut you off. They want to delete your page. Well, we have children, when I say children, young people, technologically savvy, that know how to code. They know how to code, C-O-D-E. They know about cybersecurity. They know these things.
Right on.
It's a matter of,
absolutely.
It's a matter of what do you want to accomplish, and where it becomes viable, where it becomes productive, where it's you can go there and learn, be trained. Hey, and it's okay to have a job. I had a job. I'm just saying, a job. You need seed money.
Okay, Cleo.
You got an offer.
Cleo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so D, I understand your apprehension about working with the youth that are not willing, and we have a lot of experience, and we go the distance, and we make that same conclusion that we'll just hold off and let the law of attraction bring them in, and that's what we're talking about now is mm-hmm. creating mm-hmm. something that creates yeah. the law, that sets the law of attraction in motion. So, again, I'm just saying that
sure.
when we format something and we put it out there, it's going to attract the willing. And then the willing
okay.
will probably attract the unwilling in eventually.
Exactly.
Eventually.
I
so
it.
I understand
yeah.
your sure. apprehension about, because you've seen a lot work with our young people, and a lot of that stuff doesn't look very promising. The forecast doesn't look very great. Because of the way they seem to be indoctrinated and the way they think and behave, we're just saying that we'll put something out there that attract those who are. Cause I'm gonna tell you something. We have some youth in our forums that. Oh, let me put something else to you. Just matter of factly, I talked with a brother the other day, and he had the concept. He said, "Look." He said, "You got you young people that have the concept, but they don't really have the assignments. So let's get together, create a package where they can form their own board, right? And then in that board, we can give them assignments to help have a small, like make it a small organization of youth, and let them attract contracts or attract assignments." That'll put some money in their coffers as a group and let them feel what it looks like and get an experience of what it feels like to be in a productive team atmosphere. We got that going. Then we had the other day we had a young man come in that has his own computer. He has a computer business, right? Technologically
mm-hmm.
sound all the way around. He got not only that initial build business, but he has spanned out into different branches, arms and branches of technology, and he owns these businesses. And he came in to see
mm-hmm.
how he could help groom our young people to swing their attention toward learning how to make a livelihood with phones and computers and stuff like that. So this is what
mm-hmm.
we're talking about. We're talking about putting together packages
brother.
That... Yeah.
Okay. We have a lot of callers that have called in. I got a couple of hands up. I tried to wait my time before I broke this communication between you two brothers, but we have some other callers, and I have a hand up from the 747. Go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
I'm listening to the brother. I am Brother Jacob, and everything you said was true. I got a business. I wasn't doing so good. But I'm listening to you, and I'm a very spiritual person. I got the Lord Jesus Christ picture right in my store, and I just want to hear some more. But I'm a first-time caller. Can you give me some advice about running a business and how I should run it? Because I'm not doing so good.
Okay. We're going to get right to that question, but we have another caller on here.
Okay.
I think that's Brother Craig. Brother Craig, go ahead and introduce yourself to the listening audience.
Got to run. Wait a minute. I got to run. But I have a hoe business, and my hoes are not working right now, and I got to get those lady bitches back on the street.
Oh, okay.
What?
You got one of them, y'all.
Yeah, there you go. So we get Bojacks like that. Brother Craig, are you there?
Yeah, this is me, Craig. I just calling to say hi. I'm just listening.
Thank you.
Right
we
on.
Appreciate you for listening in, brother. His name is Way Busy. Way Busy on the block. Hey, so we're going to go to Rev. Rev has his hand up. Rev, go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to intervene with the gentleman holding a little conversation back, as y'all said, Rev, get over Windows. So I wanted to see how long that wind was going to blow.
And that wind was blowing. Go ahead, sir.
I just look at life as I've had to live through. I could have been pushed into everything. I tried selling crack cocaine even when I was 18 years old, and I was thankful to God that three Debos walked in the room on me, if y'all know that movie Friday, and it scared me straight. And it put a pause in my life back then. I never done no drugs. I smoke marijuana, and I admitted the other day, I still do. It helps me on the areas where I get too wound up, and it calms me down. I don't like man-made pills. I seen through the life that we live where, sad and funny as weird as it is, that crack cocaine got us our 40 acres and a mule. It started what we have today as a hip-hop that we love. You watch Straight Outta Compton, and you'll see where that kind of evolved. It opened doors that was wider. And I guarantee you the Ice Cube, the Snoop Dogs, and everybody else, they're not selling crack cocaine no more. They're trying to influence people through other forms, which is their music and movies and things like that. So certain things that had to happen in the black community, and thinking of that one in particular, why did crack cocaine even stay in every black community that you can possibly think to name? Because we needed something to get us past a certain era of recession.
Hey, Rev, hold up real quick. Hey, can y'all mute your mic? Mute your mic, you guys. A lot of noise in the back. Mute your mic. Okay, Rev.
To where things like that, I mean, you had children out there selling crack cocaine, buying their mama's house at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old to actually be a productive area in life for the next generation, started up businesses. So I just look at everything that God's allowed that the devil keeps on trying to do, and we overcome these things, you know. Everything, like even the pimp game, is watered down because everybody that's pimping out, they now is getting a sex offense charge. So everything is kind of melting down to me and my side of looking at it. Drugs, think there'll be another crack cocaine on the street. Fentanyl is not taking over like crack cocaine. Heroin didn't, Sherm, and all this other stuff back in the day. So I always try to pull the positive areas out of everything that's been bad done to us or that we allowed to happen. And it took us to go through everything to be the drug dealers, to be the drug users, in order to give us this step back knowledge on why I don't want to sell drugs no more, why I don't want to use no more. And it is going to be a difficult challenge to push it on to the youth. That's why I brought up something. I brought it to Tim, and I think I wrote it on that paper that day as a premonition when we were speaking in the Obama room. The let's ride together, stop dying together. I see that could work with the let's go fishing and stop the violence, Hooked on Fishing. Because it's getting the youth in a comfort zone, something that they like and love. I see the social media era to be a positive strength because there's a lot of money that can be made through the social media era. We wouldn't even be able to have this phone call all the way across the track right now if it wasn't for the internet and everything that's working on us is now. So it's just going with the flow of everything that's going and being more accepting, understanding, stepping back and asking not even a why to God, just seeing where it's actually leading. I ain't saying we're supposed to let all this stuff just keep going just to wait for the problems to be resolved. But to actually put our two cents in as we do, to deter it a little bit, but to watch it and observe it. Because as much as I want to end homelessness through Homeless for Heaven, I'm not going to end. It's not that time. It's not our time. I'm praying for the reparation, but I don't know if it's our time. They've been fighting for that since, I don't know, the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. So whenever our time comes for stuff allowed by God is what I'm looking at, and I see black as a whole difference because I would not be involved in everything right now if it wasn't for God. Because I didn't live and thrive on black. I was just doing me. I was a good kid. That's why Marvell even mentioned the other day, you know, Rev, we'd like to see your location. You can be able to teach locksmithing. I was even taught as a locksmith at age 11 because I was a trusted kid in the neighborhood. Even though I went against the grain on areas, I still kept my focus. Because I see even today's generation of children, they're not really working. They are caught up in social media, but it's focusing them on something that could actually generate an income out there. I don't care if they're selling cookies through the social media. It's certain things that we got to find out where is the extra stepping stone to be able to help the next generations coming. Even though the adults like myself, I still need help. But I can teach and still be without and make sure that they still prosper in whatever they're doing. I don't mind even donating my limo to the whole thing because
I look at everything now. If I die tomorrow, I don't want to hang on to nothing. I know the things that I have that I can teach is valuable, is vital. Even if I teach them how to write a script, how to write a full movie, how to write a novel, teach them how to sing, dance, rap, whatever it takes may be. Because the next generation is what we can't see. We can only see the day that we live in. So to say that what we might hinder on today's teaching won't catch up on the next generations, because we can't be expected to be able to teach everything that's going on now. We just got to be a part of it. So on that part, I yield, and I'm just wanting to kick back and listen and give my other 2 seconds.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and everybody got quiet, so I'm going to give it up to God one time, and we'll be right back.
Then here come my blessings. Ain't no need for stressing in my life. Form weapons, yeah, but I know I'm protected by the blood, protected by the love of God. Grace and mercy, all his favor, take me higher, just like that grave was. And every time I turn around, you keep blessing me, yeah, yeah.
God is good to me, and he's brought me from a mighty long way. and I just got to give him praise. So let's praise him together.
To every believer that has ever been talked about because of your praise, let's treat people and say, you just don't know. Yes, Lord. quit that bar.
Give him glory.
Yes, sir.
As Benjamin Cone the Third and the worship, you just don't know where he done brung me from. Hey, it is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I had to get the Holy Spirit over the evil spirit. My phone switchboard was full of people, so what I did is went on the queue and asked them to say something, and they thought they was live, and they got their cussing and all types of stuff. So I went to the next, and I went to the next, and it was a lot of people that bombarded this station, right? They bombarded this station, thought they was live, and they was talking foolishness. So I had to bring the Holy Spirit in to clear the air. And you guess, you already know, when you put God first, hey, the devil got to flee. And so my line is clear. I got about 15 to 16 people that I know these numbers is clear. So we're going to go back to the conversation. The reason they do this, let me tell you this, and let me give it to you ready and raw. The reason people do that is because the spirit that we have on this show is a mighty spirit, and it touches so many listeners worldwide. We got people in UK listening. We got people in Canada listening. We got people in Kenya, Uganda. We got people in Philly. We got people listening. And every now and then, the devil wants to see if he can get them listeners to flee. But I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying on the line, being strong about your faith, and getting this communication going. Without further ado, I'm going to go to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
I don't know if they're rehearsing their comedy act on our network or not, man, but it was poor. It was some poor material. They need to probably go back to the drawing board and get more creative. So that was very, 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 very sorry, you know, the attempt to throw a wrench in what we do here. And, I mean, it was laughable in its on the face of it, but it was really kind of sad that someone – really thought that they were going to drop, like a couple of times we had them other people come and drop in. I had a scholarly man turned around and came back and started talking about something that was so nasty and heinous. You know, you know that there's something that we're doing that somebody don't like, and they're demonstrating it in a way that is so immature that you had you scratching your head for a minute. But I guess the consolation is that what we're doing is penetrating toward and attracting people toward progress and regress at the same time. So we'll get a bite of that regression every now and then, and all I suggest we do is just don't say nothing, because I know a couple of folks are getting ready to rear up and say, no, just let them, you know, because they're gonna flee, just like Brother Tim said. They're going to flee as long as they don't get the reaction that they thought they were going to get. Then they have to stop and look at themselves and think how well they did it or how poorly they did it or whether they should have done it at all. So that's kind of like the teaching tool we operate upon is like, you know, the one thing we don't do here is we don't try to make sense out of nonsense. And I'll yield.
Hey, we don't what? Make sense out of nonsense. I love you, brother. Let me tell y'all, man, the people that are on this show, man, are some real people, man, that have been through some challenging times, and they could have folded their towels and them chairs and left the scene. But you know what they did? They came with the truth to spread to the world on how we as a people are resilient. We fall, but we don't stay down. We get up, we dust ourselves off, we come anew, and we bring that where we come from to where we're going, just to, so you'll know that we do have experience in some of this that we talk about, and we do want to change a lot of what we see. This is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, where there's wise people giving wise words, and we thank all of our panel that calls in daily to speak on what's going on, how it's going on, and why it's going on. You're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Without further ado, I want to hear from Mark the Disciple. I haven't heard from him today, and I want to know, how do he feel about the day's discussion? Mark the Disciple.
Well, you know, today's discussion, as well as all the past days, has been very enlightening, you know, much needed. And I just love the fact that we're, you know, gaining more momentum as we go along. We've got another brother on here with knowledge and a lot of wisdom, and that's what we need as we go forward. So, and I'm just happy. I'm glad, ecstatic, you know, all that. Whatever good word you could think of, that's me. I mean, I'm just blessed by God and, you know, to be in the mix of all you gentlemen and ladies. It's just a privilege and an honor. And I'm going to digress.
Ashe. Brother Sherman. I'm knocking on your front door. Brother Sherman, I got a lot of disturbance in your background, but go ahead and say how you felt about what you heard today and what can you add to it, Brother Sherman.
Hello, everyone, again. Yes, I think I grew a half inch today. I'm proud of the thought that this group, they don't allow you to quit. I mean, the day I joined, and about 3 days later, you said to me, "Where are you?" And then my phone cut off. Keep that going. That hey, if I can't work with you, I can't do better. I mean, you keep that attitude, and we as black people, we gotta come up. We've gotta be better. I mean, just to think of the thought that the Green Valley thing back in the 40s, I mean, it's all about working together, taking the bad experiences and cleaning them up and presenting them to do better, to be better. I yield back.
As y'all can see, man, we are a force to be reckoned with, man. We had a dear friend of mine come on yesterday. I sent him the link, and he did come on. He came on at the end. He does a money talk show on 97.5 KDEE. He's my dear brother, Thaxter Otterberry, and he does financial literacy, right? He's done well in life. He's an investor. Property owner, I don't want to say homeowner, he's a property owner, and he is really about his father's business. And so if you ever get a chance to look up Thaxter Otterberry, I ask that you do that, Google him, and touch bases with him, man, because he's here to help us be better at saving our money, investing our money, and how to obtain money, right? And so Thaxter Otterberry, man, I look up to you, and I'm proud of a brother like you to give of self and not be selfish in giving. Y'all didn't hear what I said. He gives of self and not selfish of giving, right? And so without further ado, we have 10 minutes left on this show. I want Brother Marvell, because it's March 1st, it's still Black History with me. Brother Marvell, let's talk about a few of them inventions that you always talk about and our black folks that invented such things. Without further ado, here's our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson.
Anybody ever played a guitar? Or, of course, we all have heard a guitar.
some of us have attempted to play or play it well. Robert Fleming Jr., a brother, invented the guitar. Yeah. The kitchen table, H.A. Jackson. The kitchen table. What a household, especially ours. I know in my house, where my mom lives, everybody congregates in the kitchen and the kitchen table. Kitchen table, you come up the side door, you open up the door, right there is the table. And that's where everybody perches. And then if you don't have a seat, you sit in proximity in the kitchen, near or at the kitchen table. A brother invented the kitchen table. The refrigerator by Jay Standard. A brother named Jay Standard invented the refrigerator. Who ain't got a refrigerator? If you go in a home, try to buy a home or rent a home or an apartment, if you go in there and you look around, you see the decor and you like it, you go in the kitchen, ain't got no refrigerator, are you going to rent that? Are you going to buy that? You have to have it. We are a must-have group of people. See, what it seems like technology and the new advancements of AI and all this stuff is attempting to, like, it edge us out of the equation, right, and limit us to just entertainment, sports and music and, you know, comedy, right? Because we control comedy now, right? You got other folks that's making a living, but our comedian is making a killing. So edging us toward that, there's always this effort to minimize or to compartmentalize our ability to create and to succeed, and finally supersede whatever we get involved in, right? So, urinalysis machine. Did you know that? The urinalysis machine was invented by a brother by the name of Dewey Sanderson. The urinalysis machine. Oh, man, come on. Oh, dig this here. I mean, all these things that I'm talking about, I'm just picking through. I have about 70-plus inventions, and about 32 of them are essential for civilization. You wouldn't be civilized if you didn't have these particular things in your civilization. You wouldn't be civilized in your body of people if you didn't have these things. You couldn't consider yourself civilized. How about this one? I got one for you. How about this one? How about, let me see. Oh, man. The heating furnace. The heating furnace invented by a young lady by the name of Alice H. Parker. Baker designed and created a heating furnace. The hairbrush by Lita Newman. Of course, we know about the trapping signal, right? Garrett Morgan and his gas mask, that are two things that are so essential that you take them for granted so easily. Because you just can't picture not having them, right? You can't picture not having a light system on the road driving a car. The clothes dryer. I'll stop with that one because I have a lot more. I could go on and on. The clothes dryer was invented by a brother by the name of G.T. Sampson. The clothes dryer. Now, think about that. You know, back in the day when I was young, we had a clothesline. As a matter of fact, my neighbor had a clothesline that you reel and you can pull it on a pulley, and they had built a platform for the wife to walk up there and stand there and reel the clothes in and hang them up, dry them, pick them off like this. And her son tried to hang me with that. He pushed me off and wrapped a rope around my neck and pushed me off of there. That's a little side issue, but I'm just, that happened to me based upon how we used to dry our clothes. But now, that's a novelty. If you want to dry your clothes because you washed it and you hang it over the edge of the shower, you hang it over the bathtub because you wanted to dry naturally and you got that time. But right now, everybody has to have a clothes dryer. They have organizations. They have businesses that specialize in dryers, right? Laundromats. So all I'm doing is pointing out this is supposed to be the aftermath of our observation of our history. Well, our history is current. What we have done is still being done. And done so well, people can't do without what we created. Keep that in mind as we go forth. So we can have the confidence to know that we are not limited in our creativity and our ability to make things happen. When I work with young people, I do a little card trick. I got a little card trick I do. I can tell them what the card, they pick a card, I can tell them what it is. And they're astonished. You know, of course, there's a principle involved. So when they ask me about it, I tell them no. Don't be concerned about this because this is just a trick. I say, but what you have inside of you is really magic. Here's how it goes. You have an idea, something in your mind, and you have the power to make something that's invisible to everybody else visible to everybody else. That's magic, and that's what we have. We have the power of magic. We can make what once was not. We can make it an is. And think how powerful it would be when we work together to make what may not have been a manifestation of what is. That's what we have. So I just want to keep on planting and watering, planting the seed and watering the seed. Think not. Anybody who might have been a little bit doubtful about what we could do together, we do so well individually that you just have to conclude that if we come together, miraculous and wonderful things are going to happen. 60. I'll yield.
Thank y'all for tuning in to the Wise Words of One Gone Show. We'll see y'all on Monday. God bless. Hey, on Sunday we got our gospel hour. We ain't doing a whole bunch of talking. We're doing a whole bunch of praising. So if you'd like to come on, we'll be on at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Pacific time, praising God. With that being said, peace and blessings.